Well met, and welcome to episode 125 of the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for April the 3rd, 2016. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. Greetings. This is Bill Walthall, and in this podcast, we take a break from our usual discussion of plays for a special interview. A couple of months back, as I was scouring the web for stories for my weekly news broadcast, This Week in Shakespeare, I learned of Chickspeare, an all-female Shakespeare company in Charlotte, North Carolina. After a little Twitter tag and direct messaging, I was lucky enough to talk with Sheila Snow Proctor, one of the company's founders. The following is our conversation from earlier this week discussing the group and their ambitious plans for the 400th anniversary of the Bard's death later this month. But first, a word of audio warning. For some reason, my recording of the interview was corrupted, and I've managed to make the file quasi-listenable, but the audio quality isn't the best. I promise to find a better recording platform before the next interview, I promise. Enjoy.
All right, today I've got on the phone Sheila Snow Proctor, the executive director of Chickspeare, an acting troupe out of Charlotte, North Carolina. Sheila, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
No problem. So tell us a little bit about what Chickspeare is.
Well, Chickspeare is kind of all in the name. We are an all-female Shakespeare company. We've been around since 1998. And just like the name says, it's all chicks all the time.
So how large is your group?
We don't have a specific number of actors. We're very welcoming to anyone who wants to be involved. Only prerequisite is that you are female. We have done large productions down to small productions that we do in a brewery setting. So we've had casts as large as, 20 to casts as small as 3.
Wow. Okay. So how did this all get started?
Well, back in 1998, the founding members, which is myself, Ann Lambert, a woman named Lolly Foy, were all at a mutual friend's bridal shower. We were all there talking about a show that was coming up for auditions. And honestly, right now, I can't even remember what Shakespeare play it was. But we were lamenting the fact that, we were going to audition, the female roles were, as you know, very small. And, we talked about how we would really like to play the guys' roles. And, being that most of the Shakespeare plays now are done gender-specific, men playing men, women playing women. And we just decided, hey, wouldn't it be cool if, we did that. And a couple weeks later, we all got together in a Starbucks and decided to do As You Like It, found a space to mount that production, which is an old, very, very, very old historic theater in Charlotte called Carolina Theater. And it still hasn't been totally renovated. And we ended up doing our first production there. And then we wanted to do more. And we started going down the lines of a very reduced Shakespeare-esque type productions, very small cast. And we ended up in a brewery called Johnson's Beer in Charlotte at the time, at one of the very first craft beer places in Charlotte, if not, the Southeast in the country at that point. Craft beer was very new at that time. Well, we performed in their brewery space and just kept growing from there. The idea really took off. It was very popular. And we just, had so much fun that we decided to keep going. And, here we are today, 17 years later.
17 years later. That's amazing. That's a great story. So when you did your first production, the As You Like It, how many were in your cast at that point?
Oh, gosh. That's one of the, larger shows. I would say there was at least 15 cast members.
Wow, that's awesome.
But I mean, there's all these women who want to, you know, who are who love Shakespeare. You know, if you put out an audition notice for telling, you know, female actors, come on in, you are eligible for all the parts in the play. You'll definitely have people auditioning, you know, for sure, because those that type of opportunity is hardly there for, you know, many plays, so, much less Shakespeare.
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. So when you put these on, do you have a particular director that you have that you've worked with? Do you take turns directing the productions? How does that work?
Well, very early on in our first production, Joanna Gertie, who was our artistic director, now and has been for many years, she was in that very first production. She's a fabulous director. You know, she's written. She's just, I can't say enough good about her and how she approaches directing Shakespeare. We met her doing that first production, and she started directing, you know, our productions from that point forward. Now, a few of them have been directed by one of our co-founding members, Ann Lambert. And, you know, we are open to having other directors. Our main productions, though, are directed by Joanna. And we've really kind of stuck with that as we've gone along. She really gets, you know, the type of vision that that we want to have, and the kind of approach that we want to have for our actors as well.
Now, you mentioned As You Like It. Do you focus primarily on the comedies, or do you do them all?
We do them all. I personally, you know, I was in As You Like It. I played Orlando, but I've also been Hotspur. In Henry IV, parts 1 and 2, I've been Macbeth. We certainly don't shy away from the dramas or the histories. Joanna is a particular lover of the history. So, you know, we certainly wouldn't shy away from doing those productions at all. You know, we've done Caesar. We do, you know, the comedies really come into play for a lot of the brewery things that we do. Because we'll do abridged versions of the comedies. For instance, we now, the current shows that we do at No Doubt Brewing Company, which is kind of like our house brewery where we perform, we did a Shakespeare in the Park in lot a couple of years ago. It was an abridged Midsummer Night's Dream. We'll do an abridged Comedy of Errors this year in September, the last weeks of summer. We'll do that. It's called Shakespeare in the Parking Lot because we literally do it in the parking lot. We perform up on the dock, and we'll do an abridged version of Comedy of Errors. So a lot of times I think that the comedies lend themselves to being really good, you know, subject for the brewery shows. And, you know, it just in that setting, doing a Macbeth or, you know, a Henry play in the brewery, that kind of just, you know, doesn't translate as well depending upon the space. Now, we did do Henry in the brewery back in Johnson Beer, but it was an extraordinarily large space. I mean, you could get a lot of people in there, you know, and it had room. It was very tall. We had scaffolding up on the stage area, so there was two levels to it.
Oh, wow.
So you could really span your sets, whereas now when we're in the brewery, you know, we're in a very small space. You really wouldn't want to have more than four people performing.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, yeah, we don't shy away from anything. We like to try everything, really.
That's awesome. The breadth of just the ambition that you guys are showing is awesome. And speaking of breadth and ambition, we're heading into the 400th death-iversary, as I like to call it. what is Shakespeare's plans for the big number 400?
All right. Well, you know, very as it turned out, very well. The whole anniversary, his birthday, and the 400th anniversary of his death. It's on a Saturday, so what we decided to do is we decided to do a 24-hour project where we're going to span from Friday into Saturday. We are going to do a 24-hour Shakespeare project where we are going to let six female playwrights channel the bard, and they will come to No Doubt Brewery at Friday night on the 22nd. between 6 and 8, and they will each be given six prompts. They will take those prompts based upon a Shakespeare play, and they will write 6 different pieces. They'll submit that to us the following morning, and then there will be 6 directors and cast members for each of the plays, and they will direct and rehearse those plays during the day on the 23rd, which is the actual anniversary, and then that night at 8 o'clock, we will present them to an audience there at the brewery. So, speaking of an ambitious project.
Yeah, that's incredible. How did you guys come up with this concept?
Well, you know, when we first started, we were part of a fringe theater movement here in Charlotte, which, you know, there were some other cool theaters back then, Off Tryon Theater Company and Bare Bones Theater Company, 2 of them that come to mind right off the bat. They experimented with these types of projects back then. You'll find these types of projects in other cities that are being done. They're not extraordinarily popular, like being done everywhere, but you can find them. And I think that a lot of film people like to do these type of, you know, these projects too, and you'll find those in little pockets around the country. It's just a really fun way to get you never know, like when you're in time crunch, what your mind's going to come up with from a creative standpoint.
Absolutely.
And, you know, that's what we're interested in doing, is just seeing how that works.
So have you done this before, this kind of project?
Shakespeare has not, but we have been involved with other companies back then who have done similar projects, either acting, you know, that kind of a thing. And then on Sunday, we are going to drive to Raleigh, North Carolina, where we are participating in the Shakespeare Marathon, which is being produced by Burning Coal Theater and the North Carolina Museum of History. And they have a very ambitious project. They are actually celebrating by doing a marathon where they're doing every single one of Shakespeare's plays in the order that he wrote them. And that's going to start on Friday, and it will take place over 5 days. They've invited companies from all over the state to go in and read, you know, each one of the plays. The play that we got was Henry V, and we'll be reading that on Monday at 3 o'clock. So we will definitely be celebrating the anniversary of the Bard for sure that weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like a very hectic weekend. You guys are going to be exhausted by the time this is done.
It'll be a lot of fun. I mean, you throw a road trip into the middle of it, and how bad can it be?
Okay, I'm a Southern California boy, so give me a little geographical reference here. Charlotte to Raleigh, about how far is it?
It'll be about 2.5 to 3 hours.
Okay, all right. That's a little jaunt there. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah.
Now, how many people will you take for the reading?
I believe we have, the last time I looked at the cast, I believe we have 9
wow.
actors. But that's a very, Henry V has a lot of characters, and most of the people are even doubled and tripled
awesome.
In terms of reading. That would be a very big play to mount, for sure.
Very cool. Now, you were talking a little bit about the Shakespeare Marathon project that you're doing on your own with the 6 playwrights. How did you find those playwrights, and how did you find the directors to work with them for this project? How far in advance have you been thinking about this and planning for it?
Well, the initial announcement went out at the beginning of March. And what we did is we just did an announcement to the theater community. What we want to do, what we are really about, is giving women the opportunity to do something that they've never always wanted to try, but just haven't done before. So, you know, if you wanted to act, if you wanted to be a playwright, if you wanted to direct, hey, let us know. That's basically how we approached it. We put out an announcement and people responded, of course, right away. And, you know, we've settled on everybody, the playwrights and the directors and stuff, just last week. So really it only took a couple of weeks to really find all the people necessary, you know, to do the project itself as far as, you know, warm bodies.
That's evidence of just a vibrant theater community. That is awesome.
See, I love Charlotte's theater community. If you can always find a show to see on the weekend. There's small companies, there's larger companies, Actors Theater of Charlotte, there's great community theater, Theater Charlotte, which is very old community theater there. You've got Children's Theater, which is a huge facility and does just wonderful work. And then you have very small theater communities who do very, very, experimental theater. They experiment with writing their own things even. You can find just about anything, I believe, in Charlotte. There's a lot of companies that perform in alternative spaces besides ourselves. One is Donna Scott Productions. They have a show coming up called the Taming, which will be in an area called South End, which is a growing area in Charlotte, and they actually perform in an arts gallery. So their audience gets to see not only a show but a lot of little art from local artists. So you can find a lot of good art in Charlotte.
Now we've got this huge weekend coming up, and then you said that you've got a production of, I think you said, Comedy of Errors coming in September.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I guess those are your main pieces. And then you were talking about doing shows within the breweries themselves. Now, are those going to be scattered throughout the year, or are those kind of mapped out far in advance as well?
What we'd like to do is, for example, this past year, we knew that we would have our season. It's always at Noda Brewing Company, which Noda Brewing is an award-winning craft beer brewery in Charlotte. And all of our productions are there. We did a quickie with Romeo and Juliet in February. We have our 24-hour Shakespeare project in March. We'll do the Shakespeare in the Park theme lot in September, which will be the Comedy of Errors. What we'll generally do is each year, we'll take a show. We'll either do two or three shows a year in the brewery setting.
Mm-hmm.
And then, next year we're looking at doing one, possibly two large shows, one being Romeo and Juliet and another being a show that I'm working on a co-pro right now with another company. But we're looking at rights and stuff being released for the play for that. So, there's a lot of things in the works for sure. It's definitely enough to keep me busy.
It definitely sounds it. Now, as people listen to this and they want to find out more about your group, what are the best avenues for them to find it? Is it your website? Is it, can they follow you on Twitter? What's your media
outlet
like?
Yes. A great way to find out about us is go to chickspear.com. We have just launched a brand new website a couple months ago, still adding some content to it, like historical content and stuff like that. But you most certainly can find all of our, current shows and everything going on right there. Also, we're very active on Twitter, so please feel free to tweet us if, you need information. We'll be happy to respond and make sure that you get everything. To see some fun stuff from this past year, anybody is a big social media person, they can check out the hashtag ChicksBeer, ChicksBeer. If you go to hashtag ChicksBeer, click on that hashtag, you'll see some fun show, fun photos from when we did the quickie with Romeo and Juliet at the brewery. We just let people, as long as their phone didn't ring, if you wanted to take pictures, send it out there with the hashtag, or just kind of talk about, how you felt about the experience. We just let people do that right during the show. So you can find some interesting stuff on it. So social media is a big thing for us too. So either way works for us.
Okay. Well, we'll make sure that we've got links to your stuff from the blog page for this interview. Now, as we begin to wrap this up, I want to ask you just a couple of quick questions, just kind of fun, general interest Shakespeare questions. Out of all of the plays, all of the poems, what's your favorite work?
Macbeth. I have to say Macbeth.
Why?
Well, that's probably if I was to be asked what, as an actor, what play was probably the most challenging to me and what I learned the most from, I would say it was playing that character. I love Macbeth because he's just like every single person that is sitting in their living room or in their car or, you know, doing an interview like we are. He is every man. He was a guy who was presented with a choice, and he could go one road or the other road. And it's, you know, depending upon what, if any person is offered what they want most in the whole wide world, like their wildest dream, you could have it. But you have to do this. You have to do this. It's being presented with choices and being influenced by other people. I just find him extraordinarily human. And that's why I like that play so much. I you know, just don't see him as a descent and necessarily as just being a descent into madness. He's sent into madness because of his human qualities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I love that play as well. And I'm also a big fan of the whole, you know, film noir genre. And for me, Macbeth is the film noir Shakespeare for precisely the things that you've said. He's your everyman. He's your Fred McMurray in Double Indemnity. He sees something that he wants, and he's got to make a choice, and it's going to be a bad choice, but is it worth it? And he does it. And then he ends up paying for it. You know, it's just a great play. Just a great play. What's the best Shakespeare production or film adaptation or any sort of media piece that you've ever seen?
Oh my gosh. Well, that, you know, it's always, that's a hard one because I can always find good things to find about just about anything. You know, I would have to say that the classic, you know, Laurence Olivier, you know, good grief. I mean, you can't get any better than listening to him, you know, recite Hamlet, right? Or just anything that he did. Only because a lot of times I feel that you could sit there and close your eyes and just listen to a really good actor when they're speaking, the images that Shakespeare's words bring to mind. Especially when done by an actor that really can hone in on those tools that Shakespeare put into the language, the vowels, the consonants, and knowing how they express their characters using those tools. I think you could shut your eyes and just see the image from an actor like him. So for me, I think it comes down to more of who is doing the performance than necessarily the play or the production.
Nice. Very good. I love that. Okay, well, I think it's about time to let you go back your life. Is there anything else you want to share with the audience before we let you go?
Hey, check us out. And if you are traveling through Charlotte in September, you know, come see us. We'll hit us up on social media. We are at Shakespeare, and we're Shakespeare.com. We'll be happy to give you directions and buy you a beer.
Fantastic. Sounds like an invitation. All right. All right. Sheila, thank you very much for joining us today.
All right. Thank you for inviting me.
Thanks again to Sheila Snow Proctor for making time for what I thought was a nice little discussion of Shakespeare. On the blog post for this podcast, you'll find links for Shakespeare on the web, Facebook, and Twitter. Check them out. I think you'll love what you find. By the way, on Saturday, April 23rd, yes, that's the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's death, or death-iversary, as I like to call it, there's another ambitious project taking place in my own backyard in Southern California. The Kingsman Shakespeare Company, based out of California Lutheran University in Thousand Oaks, will be celebrating the day with what they're calling a special community-inclusive Bard Day Bash to mark the 400th anniversary of Shakespeare's life and works. This is going to be an around-the-clock extravaganza with everything from table readings, scene mashups, a sonnet marathon, games, and more. And included in that more will be your humble host of this humble podcast. I'll be delivering a 45-minute presentation on two of my favorite topics, Romeo and Juliet and time. Think of it as my literary chocolate and peanut butter. Separately good, but together, forget about it. come on out to Kowloon and check it out. More details coming soon on the podcast and on the blog. Now, if you've enjoyed this podcast, but you haven't been following along with our daily blog entries, try it out. Maybe you'll like it. So if you'd like more in-depth discussions or just want a daily fix, check out the blog entries at thebillshakespeareproject.com or become a fan of our Facebook page and our Twitter feed. But remember that those social media outlets are more for Shakespeare news and notes than for discussions of our current play under study. We're in the midst of King Lear right now. Also, if you have any question or comment about this or any other Bill Shakespeare Project podcast or blog entry, you can always lob me an email at bill@thebillshakespeareproject.com. Join us again for our next podcast when we'll review the major versions of Lear available for viewing on DVD and online. Hope to see you then. You've been listening to the Bill Shakespeare Project podcast for April the 3rd, 2016. For our blog and previous podcast episodes, check us out at thebillshakespeareproject.com. And we shall see thee anon.